So thank you, David. You do realise that the Northern Powerhouse was named after a train when George Osborne saw one and wondered what he would call it, so I'm not quite sure how to take that. A brief declaration of conflicts. As a vice-chancellor of a university with thousands of European students, thousands of European staff, and tens of millions of European funding. But I'm not actually going to dwell on that. I want to make a few comments about why I think international research is important, some of which will be obvious, perhaps one or two a bit less so. But reiterating what's been said by previous speakers, research, and I should stress here that we often use science as shorthand for research. We should not. It should be all research. But research and researchers are pretty agnostic to political boundaries. Good researchers collaborate with good researchers, whether they're down the corridor or across the globe. And that is the nature of research. And I'll come back to that at the end. Oh, sorry, I've just moved something. So let me just dwell on something that was said earlier about the percentage of our research which is now international. And that is important, but it's not just the percentage. If you look at the citations of outputs in almost every discipline, they're much higher if they're with an international partner than if they're just UK-based. Now, that there might be many reasons for that, but clearly the impact of what we do is important. But here, we focus very often on academic outputs. And there was, of course, reference to industry, but in my view, there has not been enough debate about international collaboration, both within industry, between industries, and between academia and industry. And one of the things that the European Union has done is built partnerships between universities and industry. And I'll come back to a couple of examples of that in a moment. I'm just being told my time's up. I'm sure it's not. It's all right. I've done 2 minutes. But of course, there is much research that is inherently international. If we are truly going to understand space weather, climate change, diseases, never more pertinent than at the present time, these have to be international teams and they have to be funded internationally. But there's also research that the UK is very good at that is not about the UK. And I'll just give you one example that I know well, a project in Manchester called DAMS that brings together engineers, social scientists, anthropologists, ecologists and geographers to look at the impact of dams in Africa. The Africans are not going to be able to do that for some time. So the UK, I think, has an important international role in carrying out that research. Then there are the really big teams, and they do tend to be in the sciences. And if I could give you two examples, one is the European flagships, one, of course, on graphene. And that brings together numerous researchers and industries from across Europe in a big and a long funding programme that I think would be hard to mimic. Another example of big teams is clinical trials. The UK is actually not big enough to undertake all of the clinical trials that we would wish to do, even based on our own discoveries, particularly so in rare diseases. And you might say, well, rare diseases, why do they matter? Because they're rare. It's all too often a rare disease will give us insight into a very common disease. And so being part of clinical trials directives is extremely important. Then, of course, another important aspect are big facilities, things no country alone can really afford. Some of these, of course, are under international treaties and will remain, such as the Large Hadron Collider, the Square Kilometre Array. But some we may have difficulty participating in, whether it's the European Space Agency or, for example, new fusion technology. These are things that we have to partner with other countries in order to deliver on. Of course, training and skills are notably important, and we've all benefited from experiences overseas and having overseas visitors in our research groups. But actually, there's a lot of research, a lot of social science research, that indicates that diversity per se has value, that diverse teams often achieve much more, whether they're chief executives and their teams in companies or their research groups in other disciplines. But the last point on why international research is important is about research diplomacy. Because research tends not to recognise political barriers, it's a wonderful vehicle to build bridges. And I would like to give you one example of this, which some of you may be well aware of. It's a great example that I haven't worked on at all, and it's the Sesame Synchrotron project in Jordan. Amazing partners. Jordan, Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Israel, Palestinian Authority, Pakistan, Turkey, How else would you imagine those countries coming together collaboratively with no knowledge or worry about their nationality or the political divide, but coming together to work on a single project? And there are many more examples. So post-EU, I very much hope we get a deal. I very much hope we are associated. It will be a huge loss to us, and it was wonderful to hear from Gunther that he feels it would be a loss to Europe as well not to do so. But we must, above all else, ensure that we recognise what are the drivers and what are the barriers. And I think Adrian Graham's report absolutely identified what are the drivers. Funding is one, but it's not the only one. And indeed, what are the barriers? And of course, immigration is a really important aspect of that. But let me end not too negatively, but there are three concerns I have about international research collaborations. And I hope they're things that we can get around. And these are, first of all, geopolitics. There is no doubt that in research there is inherent trust, and in some cases that trust is not always founded, and we are seeing more imposition of regulation on research collaboration with certain countries. Perhaps rightly, perhaps wrongly, but that is something that is starting to impinge on international research. Secondly, hopefully short term, but the widespread of infection, as we've seen with coronavirus. But the final one is that many researchers, and particularly young researchers, are increasingly unwilling to fly. This is going to become a major factor. We're going to have to think about different ways of doing international research. A lot of young scientists, a lot of young researchers, whether in humanities or other disciplines, are saying, I don't really think I want to take a flight across the world. In some places, there are alternatives, but I think we should think about that. And then my last thought is, of course, Europe is an incredibly important near partner. But over the last year, I've been to a number of countries, and they've all sort of said, so will you look at us a bit more now? These were countries including Canada, India, Hong Kong, Singapore, China, not very recently China, I should say, and all asking if Britain will now look to these countries as well as to Europe, not instead of Europe, because they want to see a growing partnership between their countries and the United Kingdom. So with changes that will occur, I hope not too devastating, and I hope not too damaging to UK research, there are also significant opportunities that we should not ignore. Thank you.